You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And Merry Christmas to all of the listeners out there. And Merry Christmas to my guest here this morning as well, Deacon James Norman and Miss Valerie Jennings. Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you also.
Oh, listen to those beautiful voices. Merry Christmas. Okay. So, how are you guys feeling this morning?
Great.
Wonderful.
Okay. Well, we're here to talk about this morning, Renew My Church. And both of you all are intimately involved. Mm-hmm. And so, Valerie, I want to ask you, first of all, you know, what is your involvement so our listeners will know exactly what's going on? What is Renew My Church?
Well, Renew My Church is the new initiative from the Archdiocese, whereby we're looking at how we really essentially do church. And it's been a long time coming. We have never, ever done an initiative like this before, where we're looking at parish structure and how we are not only looking at the parish structure, but we're looking at the people that are in the pews also.
Okay.
So, but my role in Renew My Church, as you know, that all of our parishes have been grouped throughout the whole Archdiocese. There are 344 parishes that make up the Archdiocese of Chicago, and there are six vicariates. And in each vicariate, there's a parish vitality coordinator. So my role as a parish vitality coordinator for Vicariate 6, I deal with about 62 parishes within Vicariate 6. So some of the things that I've been doing in Renew My Church is going out to the different parishes and really speaking to what Renew My Church is all about. We're looking at not just the number of people that are in the pews, but also the number of priests that serve us. And we're looking at the buildings that have all of these parishioners. So we're looking at, it's not just top-down, but it's also bottom-up.
So it's not just a few parishes that are being grouped. It's
all parishes.
All parishes.
All parishes in the Archdiocese are grouped in some kind of significant way.
So this is going to affect everyone.
Every single person.
And, you know, I don't know if that has been clear. I think that there are parishes out there that are thinking or have thought, this is just happening to us.
Yeah. It's easy to think that because if the spotlight is on you, of course, you know, you have a tendency to think, oh, well, why are they doing this to us?
And I think that is the case. I mean, based on what I've heard, at least some of the reactions sound like it's isolated.
Well, everyone will have an opportunity. It's about a 5-year initiative.
Okay.
So it's, you know, we can't take a look at all of the parishes at the same time, because if we did that, it would be total chaos.
Oh, definitely.
So,
yes.
It would be chaos in the pews.
So this is a wave of
action
that is occurring.
Absolutely.
You yourself, you said, are responsible for 40-something odd parishes, 46 or so?
Well, 62.
62 all total.
Yes, all total within Vicariate 6.
And that's only one vicariate.
Right.
So you have other people like yourself that are working with other vicariates?
There are five other parish vitality coordinators that are also working in this grouping process.
Is it equal practice? Or not equal practice, but is it equal distribution?
No, because some vicariates are smaller than
exactly.
others.
And I would think that your responsibility is quite large comparably speaking.
Right. Well, Vicariate 6 is a very large vicariate. Uh-huh. It goes from 29th in Wabash to 224th in Torrance.
Wow.
In Sauk Village.
Okay.
So there's a large swath of parishes mm-hmm. within that particular area. One of the main things that I've been working on as it pertains to the grouping process in Vicariate 6 is that I've had an opportunity to lead the grouping called Stony Grove, which is...
That sounds like my parish.
St. Albie, St. Felicitas.
Right.
And St. Joachim.
Okay.
And those three parishes chose that name because they sit between Stony Island and Cottage Grove.
I actually love it.
I love it, too.
I don't know who came up with it exactly, but I am okay with it. I've ordered my T-shirt already.
Well, because it's really kind of catchy.
It is.
To be from, what parish grouping are you from? I'm from Stony Grove.
I'm from Stony Grove, like you didn't know, right?
Right.
You know, and if no one has talked about that, that obviously sounds like a good marketing tool that can be used in a positive way because, of course, not every parishioner is taking this in a positive way, right?
Well, yeah, you know, because it means that, you know, there may be some major changes that might have to occur that directly impacts them. It impacts them in ways that, you know, we might have to look to see whether or not we stay in the same space.
Right. Stop right there. Let's talk about some of those challenges when we return from this break.
Okay, sounds good.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
As we celebrate our 100th anniversary, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to nearly 1 million people each year. Homeless veterans, the elderly, youth, pregnant women, and now grieving survivors of children shot and killed in the streets of Chicago all count on Catholic Charities. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you.
Okay, this is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative, and we're here with Deacon James Norman, and we're talking to Mrs. Valerie Jennings in regards to Renew My Church Initiative and all the things that transpire in just one vicariate. So you obviously are experiencing many challenges, Valerie, and Deacon James as well, I know. But this has pretty much changed your job.
Yes and no.
How can you do anything else? I mean,
well, you know, for 12 weeks, it really did change some of the things that I was doing. It's almost like taking an onion and peeling back the different layers.
Mm-hmm.
Each parish that's in the Stony Grove grouping is very unique all unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have St. Felicitas and St. Albi and St. Joachim, and they're very, very different. But the thing is about those three parishes, they have been working intensely together for the past 3 years. So they know each other very well. So they've got, you know, they've got some decisions that they need to make about where and how they're going to continue to work together as we move forward in the Renew My Church process.
And I know that that decision is coming fairly quickly.
It is.
We're looking at next year in the summertime.
Well, we're looking at possibly a decision, maybe in January, it might be February.
Okay.
But in terms of any kind of a major movement,
mm-hmm.
that won't happen until much later because
okay.
there's still things that, you know, the whole implementation process and then looking at the new reality, which is the final stage. But even with the new reality, there's always ongoing change.
Well, you know, it might be a concern to most, but it's something that obviously needs to be done.
Absolutely.
I think that, you know, some of the challenges as well is looking at the priests. Who's going to, if you will, lord over the church, you know, that ultimately becomes that single entity?
Well, when you think about the fact that we ordained five men last year,
mm-hmm.
and I think we're on schedule to only ordain five this coming year. That's a challenge all into itself. I was speaking with Father Larry Duras from St. Albi, and I was asking him, how many priests were ordained with you? And he said he thought it was about 35 or 36.
Wow.
So that was, you know, over, you know, 40-some years ago. Things have changed.
Right, and looking at Father Duras, you know, you're talking about looking at a priest who is very near retirement.
Well, he's beyond the retirement age,
mm-hmm.
he's, you know, and so, of course, we've got to consider, you know, where he is at this stage of his life.
He's one of the reasons why we have to look at this.
Right, absolutely.
And so, Deacon Norman, you two have been intimately involved in this project overhaul, if you will. What type of involvement have you had?
Well, as Director of Vicariate Operations for Vicariate 6, I was involved with Bishop Perry, the deans, and the pastors in actually determining the groupings by geographic area that would make most sense. And one thing I would say about the notion of Stony Grove, it is a very catchy title, but it also puts the focus outside of the church
mm-hmm.
and into the community
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm.
And so as we built the groupings, we were very conscious to say, could we create faith communities that could serve the communities in which they exist?
I like that. Mm-hmm.
So because this initiative is about making disciples, building communities, and inspiring witness at the end of the day in a very sustainable way so that the church continues to thrive and grow and is very vibrant. So after the initial groupings, and that was about a year process that we went through grouping and regrouping and talking with pastors, talking with some parishioners about what would be the right groupings, paying very careful attention that we didn't in Vicariate 6 create what I'll call Catholic deserts,
mm-hmm.
places where there would be no places of worships or for our faithful to reach out to or communities for us to serve in a significant way. And then I've assisted with the Stony Grove grouping where needed in the grouping meetings and also with the exchange grouping, which is St. Michael, South Shore, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Immaculate Conception, and Sacred Heart. So four parishes and three schools.
Okay.
So a very large and complex grouping. in an environment in a community that is seeing significant change in demographics.
What have you learned?
You know, this notion of change, you say some of the underpinnings, if I had to kind of summarize. First, I'd say if you look at our scenario, we were a church who had a mission and we needed buildings to execute that mission. Over time, we've become perhaps, I would say, a church burdened by buildings, unable to deliver our mission. And that gets to the notion of not only the declining number of priests that Valerie talked about, the declining mass attendance in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We've lost about 20% of our mass attendance over the last 20 years. And then the aging facilities and capital that we have related to our buildings. So dealing with those issues, very difficult, because you and Valerie spoke about it briefly, but this notion of the possibility of loss, that my worship space that now holds, you know, kind of 80 or so families, may be going away. And how do I deal with that? So it's an opportunity for us to begin to recognize that our church is not the building.
You know, we're going to talk more about this because I do have some questions, but I want to break for a moment and then we'll come back.
Pope Francis calls us to draw near to the poor, to encounter them, to meet their gaze, to embrace them. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development lives out this message of solidarity by addressing root causes of poverty. CCHD accompanies low-income communities as they confront the unjust structures that affect them. Support the work of CCHD by donating during the annual collection on November 18th and 19th. Visit cchdchicago.org to learn more and to contribute online.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Merry Christmas. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. I hope you all are all snugged, not necessarily in your beds, but that you're snugged in your homes and having a good holiday thus far. I'm here with Deacon James Norman and Mrs. Valerie Jennings, and we're talking about Renew My Church. We've had a wonderful discussion, but it's going to take at least 10 more shows to cover all of this. You all have been great, you know, explaining or trying to explain the intricate process that takes place in going through all of this. And certainly there's a lot more to talk about. But you have a lot of people in the pews that are very concerned about their church potentially going away, or the fact that they've got to share their space now with folk that they don't know. So now they got to get a little uneasy about getting to know new people all over again. And you know that makes people nervous. Mm-hmm. So what's the best approach for those who are listening and ultimately, this is going to affect everyone. So what advice do you have for our listeners?
Well, once you know the name of, once you know your grouping, you can start collaborating with each other by maybe even just having some basic things like potlucks, or you can have different kinds of exchanges. Like, if, for example, if you have a youth, if you have a youth group, finding ways to get the youth together, because a lot of times when we join together our young people, that means that parents usually have to come and kind of drop them off, or even if, even as they're dropping them off, they may end up running into people that they already know. Oh, you! I didn't realize you attended that particular parish. Well, one conversation leads to another conversation. So those little soft collaboration opportunities, some parishes have gone as far as exchanging pulpits. They've had choral sing-offs. So those are little light things that they can do to get to know each other.
They're wonderful ideas. And so what you're saying is be open, be flexible, and be creative. And let's make this thing work, because we're all in this together. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So Deacon James, what suggestions do you have and what insights can you share with us?
I think Valerie gave some great ideas. One I'd also is, before you begin to engage in a grouping, know your strengths and opportunities of the parish. Have real clarity about what are the strengths of your parish and what are the opportunities as it relates to ministry and mission where there's an opportunity to collaborate and build moving forward. So when you come into a grouping, you know what your strengths are and your opportunities, and then you can assess with the other parishes where there might be opportunities for synergy, where there might be paths for you to go forward. Understand where you're at financially, your parish. Understand, you know, what your October counts are, how many registered parishioners are you have. I think is a kind of, they say, the first part of any journey is kind of knowing where you are.
You know, that's some good stuff. Because as you're talking, I'm thinking about the Stony Grove grouping. And I'm seeing the strengths and opportunities as you're saying this. And obviously, St. Albie's has what I think is one wonderful youth involvement.
Yes, they do.
And they have some wonderful ministries there. And St. Felicitas, quite frankly, is lacking in that department. We don't have many youth. Now, we have a lot of elders. We have a lot of wisdom sitting in those pews. And it can be some great exchange of ideas. But Deacon Norman, you're exactly right. That's an opportunity for us not only to learn from the youth, but also to build, you know, additional youth for our church in general. And St. Joachim, you know, I think they're similar to St. Felicitas in terms of the demographics, but that presents an opportunity as well as a challenge, and I think it's a healthy one.
I'd also, I mean, I guess I'd also encourage folks to be prayerful throughout the process, even now, in really assessing what's most important about their parish community.
How can I pray when I'm ticked off?
Well, that's usually the best time to pray, to get to why you are really ticked off.
Yes.
And get in touch with what you're losing. And remember, as the Cardinal has described and Pope Francis have described many times, before there is life, there's usually some kind of death or loss.
Sounds like a seed.
So, yeah, just like the seed.
Yes.
And so we recognize what you're giving up for the future. And also, I think we have to think beyond ourselves in this process, and we need to think about the next 5 to 10 to 15 years. The process is built to establish a solid faith, Catholic faith foundation in Chicago for the next 5, 10 to 15 years, given all the things that we're facing
and beyond. Yes.
So for our children's children.
Yes.
So it's leaving a legacy for our children's children. So just like we would in our own household, we'll forego a car every 4 years for our kids to have a good education. We'll forego this thing we'd really like, that Starbucks coffee, so that we can put a little more towards our kids' education. We may need to forego some things in terms of our comfort related to our faith for the faith of our grandchildren's children.
I love that. And if you can just concentrate and focus on that alone, we'll do well. You know, I've learned just coming up in the Bronzeville community and trying to be a community activist. I shouldn't say trying to be, but being a community activist and working in that community, that I found the elders very difficult to work with in terms of moving over or at least mentoring to someone like myself so that I might be them one day. Mm-hmm. And I think we even see it in the politicians. You know, we've got some elderly politicians there that seem to be holding on to these seats that don't want to give up, you know, and I don't see them mentoring, quite frankly, to someone to take their place. And I think that's a huge mistake we've made.
Well, part of the Renew My Church prayer is that you want to be able to pass on to future generations,
yes,
just as Deacon James was just saying. So if we're not using the gifts that we already have, especially those that are elderly, they have a lot to offer us. So it's about passing this on to future generations so that there will be a church for the next 10, the
passing
next 15,
the
next 20.
On.
It's
yes.
Passing the torch.
Yes. And Valerie, you're so right. And we need to do that and be cognizant of it each and every moment. I love that prayer, by the way.
I do, too.
I love it. And, you know, I don't know who came up with it, but it's a wonderful prayer. And I look forward to praying it. I really
good.
Do. And, you know, I wonder, though, you know, about those who are praying that prayer, but they don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell them?
That, especially that the middle portion, those are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
And so it's a checklist, if you will.
Right.
Are you working in the Spirit?
Right.
And so that's a healthy comment. And I hope that our listeners, those at least who are not involved in a grouping, now have a little foresight of what's potentially to come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So look, you guys have been just very competent in providing your answers this morning, and we're very appreciative for you coming in over the holidays and spending your time here. So what are you doing? You got any ideas what you're doing for New Year's?
I don't know.
It'll be with family. We usually sit back with family and watch the new year come in and just celebrate.
Yeah. I'll just leave it to the amateurs. That's my husband and I will be sitting at home,
yeah,
probably watching it come in.
Well, hopefully you'll get some time away from this heavy-duty work that you've been doing, and you certainly are due for a little rest because you both have been putting in so much time, and the church is better for it. And we thank you for coming on. Want to give you a blessing before you leave and just ask God to continue to bless you. So, Heavenly Father, as we sit here today and we renew your church, Father, I ask that you continue to give these two apostles of yours, Valerie and Deacon James, to give them the strength and the vision and the focus, Lord, to continue to do your will. Let love prevail in their hearts and the hearts of those whom they're instructing and helping and assisting, Father. And let's see them through. Let's see us through as a church, Lord, and let's yield to your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things through your Son, Jesus. Let the church say,
Amen.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.